Considering Creation. Successful Creator Awareness Evangelism Through Discussing Intelligent Design, Byron Myers. Do you like nature? Excuse me. I was wondering. Do you like nature? Almost everybody is fascinated with nature. I myself love nature. The things of nature are so wonderful, so breathtakingly beautiful and scenic, so interesting. Did you ever wonder where it all came from, and how it all came into existence? Perhaps you could help answer a question for me. Many people are confused about this. Some people think that everything in nature came about by happenstance, or by natural causes. However, they admit that they don't know for sure. Others disagree. They say, no way, it's just not possible. They point out that all nature has logical, intricate design and reason, pointing to the fact that there must have been a creator, an owner, a master designer or great architect, and that it couldn't all have just happened into existence, or come about by natural causes. Oxygen needed for life to exist is not depleted, for instance. It is pointed out that we need oxygen to live. All living beings rely on oxygen, even fish. We take in oxygen from the atmosphere when we breathe in. It goes into our lungs, where it enters our bloodstream. It is then carried throughout our whole body by our blood cells, replenishing life. It brings nourishment to our cells, and takes away the old, which is then expelled back into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide, when we breathe out. If a person were to be locked in a sealed room, after a while he/she would die when all the oxygen got used up. Considering the fact that there are now over 7 billion people in the world today, why don't we all die from lack of oxygen? Where does the new oxygen come from? And why doesn't it get used up? Interestingly, green tree leaves absorb the expelled carbon dioxide and convert it back into oxygen again. What a miracle! How did the trees know how to do that for us? Did they hold a meeting and decide to help us humans and all the animals? Or was there possibly a very intelligent master designer, a marvelous engineer, who designed and created the trees to do that for us? Flowers real and artificial? Have you ever considered the flowers? That they are all so beautiful, so intricate, so delicate, so colorful. Do you think you could make a flower? People can make artificial flowers that look and even feel almost like real ones, but they can't create real live flowers. No one can. In fact, if you put a bouquet of artificial flowers beside a bouquet of real flowers, sometimes you can't tell the difference. Did you ever touch a bouquet to see if it was real? It's very difficult to tell sometimes. However, if you set them aside for a few days and come back a week or so later, could you tell them apart then? Yes, of course, because the real flowers have died by that time, but the artificial ones still look nice. Actually, they are dead also, because they never possessed life in the first place, like real flowers. The human eye, a miraculous sensory organ. How do we know that the flowers are beautiful? Or the trees, and all the other scenic beauties of nature all around us? Yes, we can see them with our eyes. That's how we know. Did you ever consider how wonderful and miraculous our eyes actually are, or how different life would be like without our eyes? There they are, just two little round balls of flesh and blood, sort of like two large grapes. Yet they make us aware of what is around us. We have been given our eyes, not merely so we can find our way around, or not stumble, or bump into something, but so that we can see and enjoy all the beautiful scenery that nature has to offer all around us, not only the wonders here below, but the stars and galaxies in the heavens above as well. Our eyes have controlling muscles that help them follow fast-moving objects, and we don't even have to think about it. Our eyes can adjust automatically to both bright and dark environments. They can discern the differences between many millions of colors and shades, like with the beautiful flowers that we love to admire. Our eyes also have lenses, similar to cameras, but much better. They focus automatically when we look at things in the distance or up close. When light enters our eye, it passes through the focusing lens, and a picture of the object we are looking at is displayed on the back wall of our eye, called the retina. The image is then transferred from our eye's retina and shown on the screen in our brains. Our brains can then store the images away in memory to recall later. In fact, scientists tell us that one tiny cell in our eye's retina is many times more powerful than the most powerful supercomputer that was ever made. And our eye's retina is made up of millions of these very powerful tiny cells. So, if all of this is true, which it is, how then could our eyes have come into existence all by themselves, or through happenstance? No, they had to have been designed and created by someone very intelligent, a very powerful designer, a master artist, the human frame arm, and fingers incidentally. How could we pick a beautiful flower without bones, arms, hands, and fingers? Including muscles for control, and nerves for touch. We have fingers that have the ability to grip the flower stem firmly enough to pluck the flower, yet with the same fingers we can touch its petals very gently, without injuring them. This is how we can hold a flower up close to inspect its beauty, and enjoy its fragrance. Did these members of our bodies program themselves to be able to do that, or do we have a great creator that designed them that way in the beginning? The human nose and human ear also. How do we know the flowers have a sweet fragrance? Our noses are designed to be able to discern between smells. We can smell the pleasant aroma of flowers and fresh green grass after a rain shower. Our noses also alert us of not so pleasant smells, like skunks or dead things nearby. They can even protect us from potential danger. If we smell smoke, our noses warn us to be on the alert of a possible fire. How do we hear the birds singing, the ducks quacking, the fish splashing, the insects buzzing, as well as the other sounds around us? Children playing, the gently falling rain, or lightning and thunder, the wind passing through the grass and trees. Our ears can discern between different sounds, voices, etc. We can even discern who is talking or singing, even if we don't see them. Where would we be if we didn't have these wonderful senses? Deaf, dumb, blind, and helpless, that's where. But our designer and creator gave them to us to use and make life more enjoyable. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Some people like to ask, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Some say the chicken came first with the ability to reproduce, others say the egg. Chicken, egg. Egg, chicken. The same could be said about the pineapple, and the pineapple tree, or any other fruit tree. Which came first, and why? Is there a clear answer? Whatever the case, the more important question is, where did everything come from in the very beginning? Did things just appear by themselves? The fruit trees, rice, vegetables, birds, and animals, did they just come about by happenstance? Or were they put here by their designer and creator to be able to produce after their own kind, all for us to use and enjoy? Life itself, where did it come from? Did you ever wonder where the spark of life itself comes from? A baby chicken is hatched out from its mother's egg and is alive. A human baby is born out of its mother's tummy and is alive. A seed of rice is sown and grows up into a live rice stalk, producing more rice. A beautiful flower sprouts and grows from a small seed. How did all this happen? Have you ever seen a dog give birth to baby kittens? Or a rice plant produce bananas? Or a fish lay frog eggs? Or a cow give birth to a baby pig? Of course not. These all have life of various types and the ability to reproduce after their own kinds, because our designer and creator made them that way from the beginning. In modern times, science and advanced technology has been able to accomplish many incredible things. However, they have never been able to create life in any form. Humankind and reincarnation, did you ever wonder where you came from, or how the origin of all humanity began? Or even where goodness and purity, evil came from? Or where evil and sorrow came from? Or when it began? Did you ever wonder where the very first man and woman, our original parents, came from? Did you ever wonder, whenever a new baby is born, where the essence of life and the soul or spirit comes from? Some say people are simply reincarnated back into the world again after they enter death. If people are merely reincarnated again, or recycled, why then is the population of the world constantly growing? For example, the world population is ever increasing. A few years ago there were 5 billion, but now there are well over 7 billion, millions more than before. Where did the extra millions of people come from? Certainly not reincarnation. It is the same in countries throughout the world. Where did this increasing amount of people come from if we simply die and are reincarnated again back into this world? Humans or monkeys? Some people suggest that our ancestors came from monkeys. Do your ancestors have the characteristics and appearance of monkeys? Mine don't. When you stop and think about it, what an insulting suggestion. Blood transfusions. Consider the fact that people of any race can give each other blood transfusions to help save lives, but no one can receive blood from monkeys or other animals. Origins is more than that. Did you ever ponder about the world and the universe as to how they all came into existence? People have proposed all sorts of unprovable theories and ideas. And yet, can anyone really know for sure? Some people suggest that our world and the many things in nature, including you and me, just happened into existence accidentally, all by themselves. Some scientists believe in a large explosion theory, called the Big Bang Theory, whereby they assert that's how the world came into existence. That theory is a bit hard to believe, especially when you consider how intricate and involved everything is. Dr. Albert Einstein was one of the greatest, most brilliant scientists who ever lived. He rejected these kinds of theories as being impossible. Einstein is purported to have said, "The universe coming into existence by accident or happenstance is about as likely as a dictionary coming into existence through an explosion in a print shop." Of course that could never happen, which proves that Dr. Einstein's statement is true. The story of two friends. Have you ever heard the story about the two friends, Mr. Adams and Mr. Brown? Mr. Adams lived in a large city. One day, he traveled to visit his close friend, Mr. Brown, who lived in the mountains amongst all the beautiful scenery. They both loved nature, so the following morning Mr. Brown invited his friend Mr. Adams to take a restful walk down a tranquil path that wound through the surrounding mountain forests. Hours passed as they chatted and strolled along, taking in the trees, the flowers, the birds, the animals, all the sights, sounds, smells, and scenery around them. Even the blue skies above were so beautiful as white fluffy clouds floated by overhead. In the distance, they could see more mountains. They passed by a stream full of fish, a small lake with wild ducks swimming on it, and a waterfall. Soon, the winding path opened up into a large clearing. This was a clearing like Mr. Adams had never seen before. The clearing was blanketed with a neatly mown covering of bright green grass. In the center was a colorful flower garden, with all kinds of beautiful flowers. In the midst of the large flower garden was a palatial home, hewn of various kinds of exotic wood, big picture windows with carved shutters and a roof of golden color tile. It was all so beautiful and ornate that it was hard to find words sufficient enough to describe its splendor. My oh my! Who owns that beautiful home? Mr. Adams asked his friend. No one, Mr. Brown replied, without even blinking an eye. It's always just been there. What? That's impossible, Mr. Adams objected. That beautiful place has to have an owner. Nope, not that any of us know about, Mr. Brown insisted. Well then, who built it, and who was the designing architect? Mr. Adams asked. Nobody built it, and nobody designed it. As I said before, it's just been there as long as any of us can remember, Mr. Brown repeated. Mr. Adams quit asking, but it made no sense to him. My friend has to be mistaken, he pondered in his heart. There just has to be a creator, a designer, a maker, an owner. Can a house design and build itself? Can anything assemble itself? Think about it. Where is there a house that didn't have an architect, a designer, a builder, or an owner? Or a house that has ever built itself? Can anything design and build itself? Can a wristwatch build itself, or can a car assemble itself? No, of course not. Impossible. I've never seen it happen. Have you? Could the beautiful house near Mr. Brown's place just happen into existence by itself? No, of course not. How about the house where you live? All houses are designed and built by someone. Where did anyone's house ever get built without an architect or designer, a plan, a builder, an overseer, an owner? Where is there a place like that? There is none as far as I know. Natural laws, an important aspect besides these things. There are numerous natural laws that have been set in place from the beginning. Scientists and engineers did not create or invent them, they merely discovered them, and now use them to do precise calculations in their research. These natural laws are permanent, and remain constant and unchanged. They are the regulating force or principle that controls every system, every movement, and every function of every scientific system, including governing all the organs in our bodies. These rules or governing principles also describe or control everything in all fields of science. These include energy, chemistry, mathematics, electricity, speed, acceleration and deceleration, brightness and darkness, heat and cold, gravity, astrophysics, thermodynamics, and the list goes on. Even more than that, there's a recently discovered chemical substance that is called DNA. DNA is present within each cell of every living thing, whether be it humans, animals, birds, fish, insects, plants, trees, etc. DNA is the abbreviation for a complicated chemical chain that resembles a twisted ladder or spiral staircase. Contained within this twisted chain is an infinitely complicated blueprint of data that reflects the exact structural composition of its host. Now, how could these precise natural laws that govern everything throughout the universe, as well as the complicated DNA structure in every cell, have ever possibly come about by merely happening into existence all by themselves? It's simply not possible. Which view is right? Could all nature have a creator? A designer? A builder? An owner? So, all things considered, which side of the discussion do you think is right or understands correctly? Is it the side that says everything just happened into existence all by itself? Or, as others say, is there a powerful creator? An accomplished designer? A skilled architect? A master builder? An owner, as it were? Have you ever considered the possibility that the world that we live in, as well as the whole universe, and all nature could never have come about by itself, or just by happenstance, but is the work of a great and powerful creator and intelligent designer who planned and created everything, including us human beings? Have you ever considered that before? It certainly seems entirely possible when you stop and think about it. Given the fact that all these wonderful things have purpose, reason, and design, it sure looks like there is a creator, a designer, master builder, and owner. If it's so, what do you suppose he is like? Well, that's the one I wanted to talk with you about. About who he is, what he is like, where he is now, what is our relationship to him, and can we know him? An ancient book about the Creator, his character, handiwork, his titles, and deeds. Did you know there are ancient writings that tell all about who the Creator is, what he is like, where he is now, our present relationship to him, and even how we can know him personally? These scrolls tell us all about his creative acts, and about our ancestors, and their relationship to our Creator. It tells us that his name, in the ancient language, means the living one, or the one who has always existed, or the one who is there. It also tells us that the Creator's name is so sacred, so high and majestic, that people in ancient times were afraid to say it out of fear and respect. It tells us that the Creator is above all things, and is known by many titles such as the Most High One, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Ancient One, the Living One, the Righteous, and Holy One. The Creator's character. The Creator's ancient scrolls also tells us that the Creator existed before all things, is above all things, that he has no beginning and no end. It tells us that he is the source of all life, is full of all truth, all knowledge, and all wisdom. It tells us that he has always existed forever, throughout eternity past, throughout all the eons and ages, and will exist throughout eternity future. No one is greater, and no one created the Creator, since he existed long before he created the worlds, and all that is contained within them. The Creator's handiwork. It tells us that he created all the elements, all nature, all the stars in the heavens, above, the fish in the waters, all the plants, all the fruit, and all the flowers. He created the food we eat every day, all for our nourishment and enjoyment, including the rice in the fields, and the fish in the waters. And that he created the oceans, the streams, the land, the mountains, the trees in the forests, all domestic and wild animals, the birds, and all other creatures. He created all things, both visible and invisible. He also set all natural laws into place. The Creator's purpose and design in creation. It also tells us that he created everything with goodness, beauty, purpose, and reason. Every living thing he made has the ability to procreate after its own kind. Everything reflects his wisdom, and all exists for his enjoyment and good pleasure, according to his purpose, to reflect his majesty, power, splendor, and glory. In the very beginning, there was no sin, no evil, no sickness, no growing old, and no death. Everything the Creator made was perfect. He created us with souls, and when we die, our souls will return to him. There were no religions in the beginning, because everyone worshipped and honored only the Creator. In summary, all things were designed and created by him, to bring him praise and honor befitting his holy name. He alone is the rightful supreme and sovereign ruler, and head, over all his creation, including all of humanity. The historical good news message. Creation to redemption. Angels, Lucifer, the spirit world, the Creator's warning, Satan, temptation, fall, curse, promised Messiah. The Creator also created all the angels, as spirit beings, to be his servants, and his ambassadors, to do only his will, and to worship and serve him alone. He created them all in eternity past, before he created the world, and our ancestors. Since the Creator is the great High Spirit, the angels that he created are intelligent and powerful spirit beings, but not nearly as powerful as the Creator. One of the greatest, most majestic angels of all was named Lucifer, which means star of the morning. The other two highest angels were named Michael and Gabriel. These were the commanders of Creator's good and faithful angel armies. At first, everything was fine. Then, as time went on, because Lucifer was the highest angel, he began to harbor jealousy and pride in his heart. He wanted to be greater than his Creator and Lord. Lucifer determined in his heart to stage a coup d'etat, and to supplant his own owner and Creator, and place himself on the Creator's throne as ruler over all creation. This was very wrong, very disloyal, very evil, revealing Lucifer's heart for what it had become, full of ingratitude, personal ambition, and sinful pride. However, the Creator, who is all-powerful, and knows all things, knew the evil plans that his created angel Lucifer now harbored in his heart. Sin and evil cannot exist in the Creator's presence, because he is holy, and is surrounded by pure light with no darkness at all. So, even though the Creator loved Lucifer, whom he had created in a pure state, he had to banish Lucifer from his high position, and cast him out of heaven, and away from his presence. There was a great war in the heavens, way back, during the beginning. The rebellious Lucifer could not triumph over the Creator and his loyal angels, because the Creator was much more powerful. No one is more powerful than he is. The Creator's good and faithful angels fought, and beat Lucifer, and all the angels who had rebelled under Lucifer's command. The rebellious force totaled about one-third of all angels. Today, we know them as evil spirits, or demons. The once magnificent Lucifer is now called the Evil One, or Satan, which means the Destroyer. He is also the chief deceiver and father of lies. Satan and his army of demons, fallen angels, are very smart. They deceive us into believing their lies, and lead us to rebel against the Creator, by following false paths, and cause us to doubt the Creator's goodness and love. The Creator made the fires of hell as a place of final punishment for Satan and the dark angels who rebelled. All people who follow and obey their master Satan and his demons instead of obeying their Creator will have to go there with their master, Lucifer. That is, unless they turn back to their Creator and repent. Humankind and the Creator, what happened? The Creator made the world and everything in it, including our ancestors. He also created a beautiful garden with all kinds of fruit trees. He invited our original parents Adam and Eve to live there, with freedom to live and eat, and care for the garden. The Creator warned them about one tree, which he forbade them from partaking of. Everything was good, and pure, and innocent. There was no sin, no evil, no pain, no sickness, no suffering, and no death. There was only peace, happiness, and well-being. There were no religions at that time, only the Creator. In the beginning, our original parents were perfect. They knew the Creator personally. They worshipped and enjoyed fellowship with Him every day in the garden. Meanwhile, Satan, the evil angel, who had rebelled, was watching. He hated the Creator, and wanted to hurt him, but could not, since the Creator was all-powerful. So, he decided to hurt the Creator's heart, causing him sadness. He did this by lying to our ancestors. Satan deceives them into doubting the Creator's goodness, and disobeying him. At the moment our first parents listened to Satan's lies, instead of staying faithful to their Creator, their eyes were opened. They realized they were no longer innocent and pure. Not only did their sin of disobedience and ingratitude disappoint their Creator, it also broke fellowship, and put a great wall between them and their Creator. Because of our first parents' sinful act of disobedience, they were separated from their Creator by death, just as He had cautioned them. They were cut off from the Creator's life and blessings, resulting in spiritual and physical death. They were banned from the garden and their Creator's presence. Their actions brought the curse of sin, suffering, pain, and death, and all sorts of sickness and evil into the world, ever increasing, even to this day. The bad news: we, like our ancestors, have deliberately shunned our Creator's goodness. We each have chosen to follow after Satan, to worship everything except our Creator. As such, we are cursed, truly fit for judgment and punishment, and condemnation to hell. Everyone, everywhere, is lost in sin, and separated from the Creator. There is no way back by our own good works or self-effort. There is no hope. No religion can help, not even your good deeds. We cannot possibly pay the price required for our sins and live. The Creator is righteous, holy, and good. People are sinful and unholy. Sinful and unholy people cannot enter into His presence and live. Anyone who chooses to face the Creator in their own strength must suffer the fires of hell with their master, Satan, and his demons because of our sinful condition. The good news: the Creator is full of loving kindness, mercy, and compassion towards all humankind everywhere, you and me included. As such, He has already prepared a way for us to return to a restored relationship with Him. Because of His mercy and grace, He sent His only Son to come into the world to be a pure sacrifice, to pay the full price for the sins of all mankind, including yours and mine, in our place. The price He paid was the shedding of His blood, sacrificing His own life, so that you and I can be saved and live. Then, to show His power, the Creator's Son rose bodily, victorious over sin and death, and our enemy, Satan. Now, the Creator gives all people everywhere a chance to repent before that future day, a day set aside when He will judge everyone who does not repent of their sinful behavior, turn, and receive forgiveness through His Son. All who refuse to repent must spend eternity in the lake of fire, with their master, Satan, a place of torment from where there is no way to escape or repent, because they have turned their back on the Creator and have followed Satan. He wants all people everywhere to repent, to believe, to be reborn into His family, to be His child, and not the child of Satan anymore, the evil one who has captured and held you and your ancestors tight in His grasp for so long. Jesus, is He our Creator and God-man-Savior, or merely a human religious leader? Who is this promised one who was sent? The name of the Creator's promised one means Savior. His name is Jesus, the Creator's only Son. Jesus is not a mere religious figurehead, as you may have been led to believe. Jesus is both the Most High Eternal One, and our Creator. As such, He alone has authority to pardon people from their sins. The Lord Jesus had compassion on our hopelessly sinful and lost condition. In becoming our Savior, Jesus borrowed the tummy of a pure young virgin girl and entered the world as a human being to be our Savior, so that we could more easily understand and identify with Him. As such, He is both 100% the Most High One and 100% man, our Creator, who came to live with us in the form of man. All who accept Jesus by faith are fully pardoned, forgiven, and restored to a right relationship with the Creator. To prove He is our Creator, Jesus showed His power over nature, the wind and the waves, and over sickness, and even death itself. In fact, He personally rose bodily from the grave on the third day, after He was sacrificed as the payment price for our sins, showing victory and power over death itself. He now offers us this new eternal life, without death, or even without reincarnation of which you have been taught. Jesus has promised He will return in the near future. At that time, He will receive all those who have trusted in Him, to go be with Him in heaven forever. In heaven, there will be no more evil or sin, no more suffering or sorrow, no more sickness or disease, no more torment or pain, no more growing old or death, no more Satan or demonic spirits to fear, because Jesus conquered them all when he gave himself as a sacrifice to die and pay the price of our sins for us on the cross, and rose again bodily from the tomb. We can also conquer all these through Jesus Christ and what he did for us. This can all be yours by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, done by a simple act of personal faith in him alone on your part. If you receive this priceless gift of forgiveness and eternal life from our Creator as your own, you will be saved from all your sin at that moment, past, present, and future. Do this by receiving Jesus as your Savior, by placing your faith in him alone. He is God the Son, and your Creator. As the Creator God, he is the Most High One, and has all authority on earth and in heaven to save you and keep you. On the other hand, if you choose to reject the Creator's free offer of forgiveness, be warned that you will be condemned with your master, Satan, and his fallen demon angels to suffer in hell and the lake of fire forever. So, which way will you choose? To repent and receive forgiveness and eternal life today and forever by accepting God's mercy and grace on your behalf? Or to continue to depend on your personal striving, hoping that you'll be good enough to make it, and in the end suffer God's judgment and punishment as payment for one sin and disobedience? Remember, this is not about changing or practicing religion. It is about a restored relationship with our Creator, something no amount of any religion can ever do for you. If you accept the Creator's free gift of grace and forgiveness, you will escape the coming judgment when all the world will be judged. There will be no more fear of death to avoid, only a living hope. You will receive full forgiveness for all your sin, as well as peace with your Creator. Then, when your time comes to leave this earth, you will go directly to live with your Creator God in his heavenly city. There, he will take care of you forever, alongside all others who have received Christ, as well as all your friends and relatives who have also received Christ. There will be no more darkness, pain, sorrow, sickness, suffering, or dying, only goodness, happiness, and well-being forever and ever in God's presence, all owing to his loving kindness and mercy towards us. Amen. Author, Rev. Ron Myers. Ron Myers at isonbible.org. Sunshine Productions, San Diego, California. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Not for sale, but free for distribution.